you have your Bible, open it to 1 Kings chapter 19. I've often asked God, God, give me revelation of your word and teach me a right word to preach. And Matthew was just giving me all kinds of fits earlier in the week. He said, look at that. And he started parting my hair. And I said, what are you looking at? He said, it's gone. I'm going to explain that one more time because maybe you didn't hear it. I was telling Matthew was playing in my hair. And he said, look at that. And I said, what's that? And he said, it's gone. I asked God, I said, God, where does it go? And so when I was getting ready this morning, I found out where all my hair is going. My hair is going on my brush. Among Matthew, the other day I walked into service and I had one lone hair sticking straight out, and he reached right up and plucked it right out of my forehead. So between Matthew and my hairbrush, I don't stand a chance. You know, that's ridiculous, but we always ask God for a word of direction, and we always ask God for a word of leading, and until we really tune our ear to hear him, we're never going to get it. And all kinds of distractions will come along and pull your hair out for you. But it doesn't mean God's not going to speak. And what I'd like to speak to you just for a few minutes this morning, mostly because I'm not one of those preach for 20 hours kind of pastor. Matthew said, one of the things I love about you the most is that you just hit him and leave. I'm not going to hit you this morning. We come to preach faith so you can go out and go bear hunting with the switch. Leave the gun at home. That's what we're going to do. Father, I ask right now that you anoint me, your servant, to preach your word simple, straight, and true. God, anoint your congregation to hear your word, not only to hear it, but to receive it and to put it into action in our everyday lives. We ask all these things in the heavenly name of Jesus, giving you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10 says, I'm sorry, we're going to verse 11. So those of you that changed your page, if it's on the other page, sorry. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent or tore the mountain and brake it into pieces and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, and he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entering in of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him that said, what dost thou hear, Elijah? When I used to get in trouble, Mama would say, what do you think you're doing? And whatever I was up to, I had a pretty good clue. But I didn't tell Mama what I thought I was up to. I'd always say, nothing. How many of y'all ever been that place? Nothing. That nothing was pretty vast, let me tell you. It's what God's saying to Elijah right here. What are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 14. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, king of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, that's as close as I'm going to get to that one, shalt thou anoint to be prophet. If you have these words, I want you to circle them, highlight them, underline them, do however you make your mark, in thy room. I am proud of what God's doing here at the Vine. This is neat. We were told not long ago in a district ministers meeting that even though we have a church building, they want us to do a church plant out away from the church. My pastor looked at his district official and said, "Do you realize that every one of us, including my assistant pastor, his wife, myself, we all work 40-hour-a-week jobs? And what you're asking us to do is to do our two services at home and then plant another church somewhere else? It sounds like you're setting us up for failure. Because, Pastor Jim, we're men who are called to God's work. But as men, we are flesh and blood, and sometimes we have to rest." What are you saying? God will never ask you to do the impossible. What you said this morning: "Henceforth, I call you not servants, but I call you friends, for a friend knoweth what the master doeth. Then he goes, "For I have ordained." Someone said, I've always equated ordained to equip, but really it means equipped and sent. God gave you the tools you need to change your community, is all I'm trying to say. And what I want to show you this morning is what don't work, so that you can more clearly see what does. If you want this to be a mega church, it's very easy. All you have to do is petition your pastor to forsake the word of God and to give the people what they want. That's it. What are you talking about? It's working in every mega church today across this nation. The Sunday before, the pastor will send out a survey, and that survey chooses what he preaches the next Sunday. I would rather go back to the word of God that says God will give us a word of direction as ministers to lead the congregation. So it's easy. If you want a mega church, just compromise the word. If you want a mega church, allow anything that is morally abstract to go. And don't seek God for a reason to change. But if you want an anointed church, never forsake what God has taught each and every one of us. And that is this: there is a price for holiness, and holiness is still needed in the house of God today. I'm not talking about what you wear or what you put on. I'm talking about who you are and how you live. You want to learn how to get close to God? Then it's called separation. We call that sanctification, to be separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. So sanctification and holiness. Preach Jesus, born and crucified. Why crucified? That's a bloody, nasty mess. You know they're taking crosses out of the church today because they want everybody to feel welcome? There was a pastor in a church not long ago got up and read from the Quran. I saw it in the bulletin. This is the house of God. Right beside it, he read from the Bible. What are you talking about, Brother Mike? I think the church world is completely confused about our identity. And unless we get our identity together, we're never going to be able to reach a lost and a dying world. This is so beautiful. So Elijah says, "I sought you, Lord, and I waited for you in the wind." Isn't it amazing how most mega churches blow through town from one side to the other and they blow up so quick and the next thing you know, they're gone? Why? It was a wind that blew through, they caught a hold of, but they didn't get the anointing. Unless the anointing's in it, man, it's just a wind. But when the anointing's in it, it will change. Notice that the wind broke apart the mountain. And it did it before God. There are many winds of doctrine that will blow through this place. It just will. And I know you're a man of God that will listen to his every word to get a direction for those winds. Wind's not bad. It's necessary. How many of y'all were outside yesterday? It was 89 degrees. Did you feel that breeze? I was up under a shade tree just going, thank you, Father. I was appreciating the breeze. Why? Because it's necessary. I look for you in the earthquake, the shaking. Isn't it amazing that really when we begin to study what Elijah looked for God in, it really is every form of doctrine we have in the church today. The wind that blows through, the shaking. Oh, it's radical. I've got a radical religion. My tattoos and piercings all over the place. I don't have any tattoos, if you're wondering. It's radical. In Iowa City, it's so radical. We'll go have a beer with you and call it church. Did I just say there's something wrong with drinking? Well, if God convicts you of it, then there is. And that's all I have to say about that. I think there's something wrong with not wanting to live a right life in front of your neighbor. Because you're watched every day. My pastor, who's gone on to heaven from the East End Pentecostal Church of God, used to say your life's an open book and it's read daily. And what's written there is not what you say, it's who you are. I have no problem if you want an occasional beer. Don't ask me to drink one with you. I can't. My standard is higher than that. It has to be. But I have no problem with that. I have a problem with getting drunk. The word says that's sin, period, the end. And we can debate morals all day long, and we can talk about what's in the word all day long. But at the end of the day, over a beer is no place to discuss the word of God. One of the most fantastic preachers I ever heard in my life couldn't preach unless he was drunk. His name was Monk Leadham. And he could preach the word upside down, inside out, and backwards. He knew it better than I do, than my grandfather, and probably better than you, Pastor Jim. This man had it. Couldn't preach it unless he was drunk. Why? Because he'd been hurt in a church. And rather than step inside the house of God anymore, he'd use it to his advantage. Friends, there's a world out there that's hurting. They've been in the wind. They've been in the earthquake. We want a fiery church, Brother Mike. How dare you come in and preach a smooth sermon? It's just easy. It goes out like butter. We want it fiery. I like a fiery sermon, man. I preached my guts out last night, didn't I? Little fiery. A little fiery. I never have any problem with this mic. Of course, we got the system set up different today, but fiery sermon. And Elijah said you weren't there, but then I heard the still small voice and I knew you were trying to speak. Listen, friends, I don't care what you fall into, what category you fall into, whether you like the wind, the earthquake, the fire, or the still small voice. The point is, God is trying to speak to us today. And what I want you to realize is what God said to Elijah when he finally tuned in to the voice and the power and the presence of God. This is what he said. Go anoint the king of Syria. Go anoint the king of Israel. Watch this. Go anoint the prophet that will fulfill the work in your room. He said, go anoint your replacement. This church can be any of the above four categories. But unless everybody in this church, right down to Dan who comes and helps set up, and Pam who helps sing, and yes, even Pastor, unless they train their replacement, what happens when you're sick? What's that mean, church? You're not just laity this morning. You're their backup. We went into Detroit, right down, into Detroit. gates around every yard that are 9 feet tall, from 6 feet to 9 feet, there's a little area where you could peek out, and above that 9 feet is razor wire around every house. Bars on every window and door. And this isn't the businesses, these are the homes. And I have a young man that travels and sing bass. He's 6 foot two. He's not very intimidating, but he's a big, athletic looking kind of guy. And that's it, Mike, I got you. I'm your backup. He black as night. We call him Chocolate. I'm your backup. I got this. God's our backup. But these people who help, who take care, the sister who handed out the announcements and so graciously watched the door, you need backup. Why? Because we live in bodies of flesh that tend to get sick. Is that easy preaching? I think it is. Until we realize that it's our responsibility. Remember, the first thing I prayed is allow us to hear your word and then to do it. Here's what I have to say to this church today. Be about God's business. Forget your own agendas and let him be Lord. I think you're doing a pretty good job of that. But I want to encourage you to do the same. I sought you in the wind. You weren't there. It blew through, but it didn't last. I sought you in the earthquake. It moved my foundations, but it didn't stay. I sought you in the fire. I sought you in the fire. There are Pentecostal movement after charismatic movement after Pentecostal movement. I realize they're not exactly the same, but they fall under the same lines today that are just burning and burning and burning, and there's no power, and they're not seeing anybody won to the Lord. Why? Because they just want the fire and nothing else. I want the goosebumps and nothing else. And friends, it's good to get the goosebumps. I mean, that generally means he's in the house, and his presence is flowing in the house. Hello? It's good to feel that close feeling. And I'm not against Pentecost. I'm a Pentecostal through and through all the day long who believes this. I come to encourage you to be who you are. If you were born a Methodist, I don't know what a Methodist is. If you were born a Methodist and you've continued in that, then be who you are. If you were born a Baptist, be who you are. If you were born a Catholic, be who you are. We've got Catholicostals in our church at home. They go to Mass every Saturday night and they come to service every Sunday morning. Why? Because they're being who God's called them to be. And there's no confusion in it. Where we get confused, Pastor, is when we start asking everybody to live up to a standard that isn't necessarily the Word of God. It's just our own beliefs and our own standard. My standard is not your standard. If you're wondering, what was he saying about having a beer? My standard is not your standard. You've got to work that out before God. Can we all agree on that? I could say the same thing about cigarettes. My standard is not your standard. You've got to work that out before God. Why? Because I don't have a hell to put anybody in. I will say this. Those of us with wagging tongues need to learn how to shut our mouths before we go tearing down everybody and everything around us. I'll stand against gossip all day long. It's not necessary. I was in the restroom and I was having severe problems because this suit is about size too big. But I bought it that way because I gained about 5 pounds over the winter. Some of y'all did too. You know it. Anyway, I was standing in the bathroom, and I got 5 pounds of body packs and stuff hanging off of me so we can be wireless. And as I was standing in there, man, I was having the worst time trying to manipulate everything to get done my business. And I got to laughing. I said, Matthew, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he said, you know what I'm doing? I said, no. He said, I'm enjoying the church gossip. I guess there was microphones on, and he had his ear monitors in his ears in there listening to y'all. I don't care if y'all fellowship until Jesus comes back. We should. We're the body of Christ. We don't get to know each other unless we talk to each other. But make sure what you're saying is edifying. Because really, honestly, when it comes to it at the end of the day, the only business how you live your life is yours and God's. And if you can line up to His word and He can walk and He can grow through you and in you, you keep on doing what you're doing. But if He convicts you of what you're doing, let's change. Somebody say amen. Pastor, I didn't preach an eloquent sermon this morning. All I said is, if you're looking for Him in the wind, He's there, but the wind don't last. If you're looking for Him in the earthquake, you'll be shaken and you'll find bits and pieces of Him there. But earthquakes are made to crumble the buildings of today. If you're looking for Him in the fire, you can't withstand fire no matter how hard you try. You can't control it either. I remember when I was in high school, the fire truck come pulling out of the house and everybody said, your house is on fire, your house is on fire. And we got home and Mom had lit the back field on fire and it was headed towards the LP tank. I'll never forget that. It's like, Mom, what did you do? She said, well, I got a little scared. You can't control fire even though you think you can. Amen? But that's still small voice. When we learn to tune into that, it'll never fade. Can I get a witness in here? I can shout with the best of them, and I can preach until my face turns red like my grandfather used to. But sometimes it just don't take all that. Come on, team. Friends, some of you thought you were just going to hear music this morning, in which case, you have. Some of you thought you were going to hear something different, in which case you have. But if you haven't seen Jesus in all of it, we haven't done our job. And I want to say this to you. God loves this church, and He knows where you're at. And the church isn't this building. It's this people. And He's concerned enough about you. We've been praying for you for a long time. God woke me up. He said, I want you to help that church in this area. And I said, done. When God's concerned about you enough to send stuff you don't even need yet, know that He loves you, and He's got you where He wants you. Keep listening. Keep working with your pastor. Keep working for the Lord.